Hello, welcome to Soul Up with Kayleen Welsh. One of the themes of my work is that we focus on aligning with the rhythm of the universe. And the reason that I think that that's so important is because I feel like we've become so disconnected. We've forgotten that we are a greater part of a greater story. And so it is important that we figure out how to plug back in, how to reconnect with the cycles and the rhythms of the energies around us, that swirl around us. And so the moon is a really good guide, which is one of the reasons that I've chosen to do a podcast centered around the new moon and the full moon. It just kind of gives us a barometer or a place in time where we can check in and see what's going on astrologically, cosmically, and on Earth. So today we're going to talk a lot about the Leo new moon, which occurs today, August 4th at 6:13 a.m. Central Time. You've likely been feeling the Leo vibe for a few days now. We've been under that influence since about July 22nd. I think it's important to recognize when we talk about any of these transitions, whether it's between signs or around, you know, the full moon or the new moon or any of these marked events, that we recognize that it's not a sharp delineation. All life flows, and energy flows in waves and in streams. So it's more of a phase in and a phase out. And when we're talking astrology, just for a little basic astrology lesson here, this is reflected in the processes that we call cardinal, fixed, and mutable. We delineate the signs into one of these three categories. Cardinal signs are the first sign of a season, and that initiates the flow of energy. The second sign of the season is called fixed, and that's where the energy solidifies a bit more. It gets anchored somehow, and the person gets a little more steady with how that energy is flowing through them. And the third sign of the season is called mutable. And that just reflects that the energy has now been somewhat assimilated and adapted, and we're ready to move on to the next flavor, the next influence that is to come. So the signs and the seasons blend in transition from one flow to another. Spring equinox to summer solstice is the growing tide. Summer solstice to autumn equinox, the reaping tide. Autumn equinox to winter solstice, the resting tide. And winter solstice to spring equinox, the cleansing tide. Round and around we go. So the energies of the moon phase in also. We talk about the phases of the moon. While the moon's most potent periods are the precise points when it's fullest or darkest, there is a continual flow and change of energy as the moon moves through its cycle. These are its phases. And many of us know very little about its movements or why it changes its shape, its color. These movements and changes, however, play an important part in the influences, the ones that we can see and otherwise, the ones that we can't see, which the moon exerts, puts on us as inhabitants. We know that the moon moves the waters, and we are well over half water, you know, especially if we're keeping ourselves hydrated, which is a really important thing. The moon influences our oceans, as well as our menstrual cycles and hormone cycles. Tracking the moon, we can see an increase in birth rates. We can see the difference that it makes in how our plants grow. And we've long heard about how it impacts crime and erratic activity. The moon produces no light of its own. It is simply a reflector. The sun radiates and the moon absorbs and disperses. So when we're talking about a new moon, which we are today, the new moon starts a new cycle. It's when the sun and the moon consciousness and unconsciousness come together to create. Some new spark is seeded in this darkness. The moon then carries that seed forward through expansion and contraction, encountering other planetary energies as it cycles through the zodiac. It's this turning from dark to light, and light to dark, and dark to light, and around again. There is a quote from the Dead Sea Scrolls that I'd like to share. It says, "All are born and must walk in the two spirits that the One has created in man, the spirit of light and the spirit of darkness." Of course, just out of curiosity, I wasn't very happy with the word man in that quote, so I kind of thought, well, I'll put in the word human. And then I realized, I don't know really where the word human came from, so I looked it up. The word human was first recorded in the mid-13th century, reflecting the growing influence of patriarchy and the impact that it was creating in our language and our consciousness. It goes back to the Middle French that meant of or belonging to man, and that word apparently came from the Latin humanus, and humus meaning earth. We are people of earth. We are human and divine. So with this new moon, the sun and moon always meet at a new moon. They sit in the same place. And then the moon goes around its 29 and a half day cycle, connecting with all the planetary energies as it goes around. And as it gets to the full moon, a couple of weeks from now, when it sits opposite the sun, it's gotten some new information to bring up about what is emerging. The light and the awareness has been growing. This is waxing. The moon grows, shines a greater light on something, and then shifts again toward the darkness. Super helpful to journal at this time. It's just a really good way to watch for in your own life how these cycles play out. It's an opportunity to see a little more clearly just the way the cycles connect and emerge in your personal experience. So I would suggest even that you pause me for a minute if you need to and go get your chart. If you have a natal chart, go get one. And you know, keep an eye on your chart. Get to know it. Let its image settle into your awareness. So you want to start by looking for the ascendant. What's on the left side of the line across the horizon? It is from this rising sign, or ascendant, as it's also called, that the whole rest of the chart is determined, because it's based on the time of your birth. So in many ways, it's in a class of itself. This rising sign is super important in my mind. It marks the beginning. It's the doorway, it's the entry between spirit and matter as we enter into this new life on earth. So this rising sign, it begins at spring equinox. That's how we put it on the natural wheel. It's 0 degrees Aries, and it carries us through the seasons, just like a calendar. You can think of your chart as an overlay on this eternal wheel. So the first place we want to look is that rising sign. What is your rising sign? What is the astrological sign on the line where that horizon goes across your chart? The second thing to look at is the luminaries, the sun and the moon. Where are yours on your chart? In what section of the chart are they? Are they above the horizon or below? When you look at your chart, do you see a cluster somewhere? A bunch of signs and symbols all wadded into the same place? That's typically a place where a little more action is. This new moon is at 12 degrees of Leo. As we've talked about with Leo, it's a fixed energy and it's ruled by the sun. This really is the sun's happy place. It's its home sign and it's super comfortable there. And it brings a burst of life and vitality. Again, when we relate this to the seasons, you know, we're at peak growth. Everything is so full and abundant and green and big. So look and see where Leo is in your chart. It's there somewhere. If you don't have planets in Leo, you still have Leo on the cusp of a house, on one of those spokes of the wheel. You'll see the symbol for Leo. It's there somewhere. And if it's bumping up against a bunch of the planets or luminaries, or is at an angle in your chart, that's what you want to notice. Where is it? Whatever house it is in your chart, you may see this sun, this Leo sun's archetype activated. So that's where you may wish you were felt more confident or were able to be more bold. Or maybe it's where you need to be less bold, less opinionated or outspoken. This new moon brings a call to integration, because as we look at the connections to this new moon, we see the part of fortune, which really is about where we integrate, where we are able to show up physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, like where all of our ducks are in a row. The part of fortune is not a planet. It's a formula that's created from a combination of your rising sign, your sun sign, and your moon sign. And so it reflects our whole, or if you like the word, holy self. In many ways, it reflects our energy system, our soul. It's where conscious mind, unconscious mind, and superconscious mind are all working together. So for this new moon, the part of fortune and the part of spirit, a spot formulated from interaction of other pieces of your chart. But the part of spirit, in my mind, represents a divine hand. I think we could call it grace. But both the part of fortune and the part of spirit are exactly conjunct at 14 degrees of Leo, so 2 degrees away from this new moon. So they are definitely adding their influence. Venus, our feminine principle, and something I've been just really relating to as I've watched the emergence of the divine feminine. She's our yin energy. Venus is at 29 degrees of Leo. So she's active in this new moon setup also. At 29 degrees, she's completing an upcycle, a new cycle of self-expression about how present she is able to be, how active, how much she's able to show up. I'll see if I can break this down a little bit easier to understand. But Venus right now then is in conjunct Pluto retrograde. Pluto, the great revealer, the energy that brings things up that we don't want to see from deep in subconscious or past karmic behavior. It's at 0 degrees Aquarius right now, Pluto, trying to take us into a new future. Venus is also in conjunct Neptune retrograde, which then kind of makes things blurry and confused. Again, this is at Neptune is trying to complete its cycle of at 29 degrees Pisces. So Venus is square Uranus. A square indicates a challenge. And Uranus is about change. So we're having some difficulty with this change. Uranus is the great awakener. And this is all occurring at 26 degrees Taurus. Venus is trine. So that's a relationship that makes things easier. It's a helping relationship. So trine Eris, and by association Chiron, because they are conjunct at 25 and 23 degrees Aries. We've talked about them some, and they've been there for a while, working on our wounds and our sense of identity. Who are we as a people? Eris says we need to make room for everybody at the table. And Chiron asks that we heal any wounds of separation. All of this comes together to indicate big changes in feminine power. We've been talking about the emergence of the divine feminine for some time, and it's evident in the world around us. The in conjuncts are our challenge because they show us where we're still blind, that we're having trouble seeing clearly how to bring this forward in a new way. Saturn and Neptune, if we recall, are retrograde and have been for a little while in Pisces. They continue to hold us in review and introspection. You know, they have us going deeper inward to consider and become aware of some newer awareness of oneness. They are working together to anchor a new level of spiritual consciousness. Pluto is saying transform, and Neptune is very clearly saying we need to rise into higher consciousness. Can we? Also for this new moon, we have Mars, the masculine principle, active also. At 9 degrees Gemini, the energy of universality, that we're all in this together. With Jupiter, the expander, that amplifies things at 15 degrees Gemini. And that sextile, which offers an opportunity to move into higher consciousness, because it's sextile the North Node. Trine the South Node, making it easier to let go of old patterns and subconscious motivators. We have an opportunity to shift with ease, to let go of some of the old things that have been holding us back. And sextile the new moon, part of fortune, part of spirit conjunction that is there, is simply an opportunity to be more. As a humanity, to be more, to recognize and claim a new identity and do something different. Mars, our planet of action, asks us to do something different. Will we? Also for this new moon, we have Ceres, the Great Mother, at the midheaven, the very top of the chart, overseeing and adding her influence. Has been there since February of 2024 and will continue to hold that overshadowing beneficial energy that holds us all in a place of self-love and self-care. That's an important piece of our ability to move forward. And adding an extra punch here, of course, is Mercury. Mercury, the planet of thinking, perceiving, communication, connection, is stationing today. It doesn't really mean it's changing direction, but it's changing its impact, its influence. What it does is open up a space for reflection, for review, for slowing things down. So today it's stationing at 4 degrees Virgo. Virgo is Mercury's home sign, so it's a place where it rules and it feels very strong. Yet through this month of August, as it does its retrograde motion, it will offer a change of perspective. It's really moving our mind back into ego, back into our place of self and ego, for another look at a question about our pride, about how we show up. It is asking, you know, where is my sense of I maybe too big? Where do I get caught in excessive pride or a know-it-all stance or think that I have all the answers? This is a needed review and ego check so that mind can move more wisely forward as Mercury moves direct later in August. It's a time to back up, slow down, take a closer look. You may hear something or have an idea or something show up in your life that gives you pause, something to consider, that you will understand with greater clarity when Mercury goes direct again on August 28th and comes out of its shadow, when it returns to its position where it is today, when it starts retrograde. So it returns to its position at 4 degrees Virgo on September 11th. So there's some things to review about our thinking, our ideas, our perceptions between now and September. This is a super powerful time to journal. What it does is it really helps us get clear on our intentions and a way that these cycles fit together. And a new moon is an opportunity to energetically plant seeds. So when we think about these areas that we've been talking about, what do you want to plant? What do you feel the urge or a call to grow? And I think it's very helpful to ask, is there an area of your life that you need greater understanding about? And then watch for these seeds to sprout over the next days and weeks as they will emerge into greater light as we come to the Aquarius full moon on August 19th. A powerful amplifier to this new moon is what we call Lionsgate. Now, Lionsgate is related to the star Sirius. The ancients were very attuned to the cycles of the stars and the planets, and they recognized the star Sirius as the gateway to heaven and the home to beings of higher consciousness. So this gateway is activated through the sun and the astrological sign of Leo, and it is said to offer high vibrational energy to open us to greater spiritual understanding and higher awareness of our relationship with each other in the universe. Just exactly what this podcast is all about. So the gate officially, technically opens when the sun conjuncts with the fixed star Sirius, which usually occurs in July. It's not a fixed date because it depends on your location and Earth and when Sirius rises above the horizon in the morning. We've come to settle on August 8 as a date to recognize this energy as it comes to a peak. Numerologically, 8 is the Lemniscate, the sign of infinity, and a powerful symbol for manifestation. Sirius is said to be 2 times the mass of our sun and shines 23 times brighter, and it is called our spiritual sun. So it rises each year during midsummer and is said to create an opening between the physical and the spiritual worlds, bringing new levels of conscious awakening. This is where we get the idea of light codes and activation. It's said that the surge of light waves emanating from Sirius carry this influx of divine wisdom and advanced knowledge, some things that we need to know, from higher realms, known as ascension light codes. That these waves stream toward our planet and when integrated through our energy field are said to awaken our consciousness and activate our DNA. The connection between Sirius and the sun is what intensifies this energy as they each radiate such powerful high vibrations. And the sun right now is in such a peak experience of solar flares. It's maximum. When these two combine, it offers a gift to Earth of what we call a stargate, a brief and rare opportunity to absorb the energy from the two brightest and most supercharged celestial bodies in our sky. It's an opportunity to fill with light. So, as you pay attention to your life over the next few days, here are some pieces you might want to give some extra consideration. You may experience some heart openings or healings. With this energy, the heart chakra is activated, and old or unresolved wounds may rise to the surface for healing. So stay with whatever emotions come up, and let any burdensome grief or loneliness, sadness or hurt, those difficult emotions, let them move through you, and consciously fill your heart with love. Open to love for yourself, for others. Think love, radiate love to the world, even to people you don't understand. Let love be your focus. That's the way to rise through some of this energy that may come up. You may also experience some strong intuitive insights. The Lionsgate portal activates the 6th energy, main energy system of the body, the chakra, the 3rd eye. So you may feel more intuitive or experience those aha moments where you realize something new. This may be extra amplified with Mercury retrograde. Pay attention to how these insights come to you because you may get a better understanding of how you can hear spirit more clearly. So pay particular attention to your body reactions and your sensations because they will give you clues. This is a great time for otherworldly or psychic connections. It's a time to do some daydreaming and let your mind wander. Pay attention to the dreams and where your mind wants to take you. Look for synchronicities and connections because they're going to be there. You know, watch for the messages that come. Certainly meditation, visualizations, automatic writing, these are tools that you can use to support this connection with spirit guides or deceased loved ones. And working with intuitive aids like runes or card decks can help you tap into this intuition and bring forth some powerful messages. Let your creativity flow during this time. Leo energy is all about self-expression, and whatever we create is an outward expression of our unique self, whether it's art or music, cooking, gardening, writing, speaking, building something. Whatever urge within you that has been wanting to come into form, now is a really good time to bring it forth. This is also a really great time to open to your fullest, brightest self. The Sun and Leo naturally are associated with the solar plexus chakra, the energy center that sits about 3 inches above your navel, and it is the seat of your personal power. So a balanced solar plexus chakra manifests as self-confidence, healthy self-control, a will to good. While an overstimulated solar plexus chakra can trigger issues around authority and control over, we can use this energy to its greatest potency when this energy is lifted and processed through our heart. We have to bring it up and process it again through that idea of love. How do we lift it and bring it into a place of love? This is a time for purging anything that is no longer in alignment with your authentic self. Therefore, bad habits, anything destructive in your life, including obsessive, repetitive thinking, negative behavior patterns, and toxic relationships. These are all things that are ripe for release. So it can be very helpful to focus on a couple of questions. What do you want to create? Is there an area of your life that needs more light? And what do you need for greater alignment and expression of your unique self? So we got the new moon, we've got Lionsgate, and on top of that also, we have Lammas. It's a cross-quarter day, one of the 8 Sabbats of the pre-Christian world. Lammas occurs on Wednesday, so this Wednesday, August 7th, 12:51 a.m., because it technically occurs when the sun reaches 15 degrees Leo. We tend to celebrate it earlier in August. Often it's looked at August 1st or 2nd as the date of Lammas, but technically it is when the sun reaches 15 degrees Leo, and that occurs on Wednesday. Stephen Forrest, one of the great astrological teachers of our modern time, calls this the forgotten holiday. We don't really pay a lot of attention to it. And its origins are associated with the harvest, with harvesting grain, making our daily bread, and breaking bread together. As the midpoint of the summer season, we recognize that we are still in full summer, yet we can feel the change on the horizon. We celebrate the fullness of life as we know that summer and all good things don't last forever. So Wednesday night is a great night to think of celebration. It's a good night to break bread, to share a meal with friends, to celebrate the high point of summer and its turning. The three of these events together create such a powerful time for manifestation. So in summary, it feels very positive with this new moon and all of its accompanying pieces to note that the harmonious relationship with Mars, the planet of passion, drive, and masculine energy, and Jupiter, the planet of faith, expansion, and greater life, together in Gemini, offering an opportunity to experience a greater sense of universality. They make it easier to work together, to be a force for good. The energy of this new moon feels optimistic and hopeful about where we can go together. We are clearly reminded by these unseen cosmic universal energies that we are all in this together. One for all and all for one. So let us break bread together. Before I sign off, I'm going to share a couple of announcements. One, I just want to alert you all to put on your calendar the Women in Spirituality Conference that is going to be held in Rochester. It's the first weekend in October, the first Saturday and Sunday, so October 5th and 6th. Plus, there is a special Friday night event on October 4th. I will be presenting there on the Asteroid Goddesses. If you would like more information, you can get that at womenandspirituality.org. Another thing I want to alert you to is that plans are underway for GLOW Together 2025, a women's island adventure in Isla Mujeres, Mexico. Let me know if you want to be on the mailing list to keep informed of the plans for that as they come together. That will be February 14th, starting Valentine's Day for a week, so through February 21st. I would also ask you to share this podcast with friends that you think might be interested. The more that we can get the light going with everybody, the better off we're all going to be. And if you would like to leave any comments, you know, I'd love to hear your feedback or encouragement. If you're appreciating this podcast or have topics you'd like to hear more about, please let me know at connect@kayleenwelsh.com. Until we meet again. Take good care and shine on.
Keeps me warm.